The Real Estate Revolution is provided for general information only and should not be treated as a substitute for professional advice. Please consult your trusted financial advisor, real estate professional, or attorney before making any real estate or financial decisions. Please remember, when following advice, your results may vary, and all information covered here is not intended to cover all aspects of the subject material, but rather a sample of issues the hosts and guests consider important.
With the latest in real estate news, you can learn all the facts that will keep you on track and use them any way you choose.
And now it's time for a power hour from America's trusted resource for everything real estate. Everything in the real estate industry is in a constant movement of change. It's a real estate revolution with your host, Victoria Riva De Nera, and her co-host, Scott Forsino. Welcome to the Real Estate Revolution.
Revolution.
Good evening and happy Monday. I'm Victoria Riva De Nera, president of the Northeast Division for Exit Realty Corp. International and a New York State licensed real estate broker. I've been in the business for about 25 years, and I'm a proud member of the National Association of Realtors, among many other associations. And here we are again today in the Man Cave with Scott Forsino, my co-host, and we have Anthony from Movement Mortgage.
Negrelli.
And we have, well, I'm sorry?
It's Negrelli.
Oh, thank you, Negrelli, yes. He's Anthony to me.
Okay.
I'm so glad you're here to correct me, Scott.
I just don't mean that. Okay.
Because you're standing again because you're thinking on your feet.
Think on my feet.
Yep. So we are in the man cave today, but we have a woman here. I'm so
first
happy. This is the first time we've had a woman in the studio.
Melissa broke the gender barrier.
Yes.
So to speak.
Yes.
So
Melissa,
right.
Melissa Case, thank you very much for being here.
My pleasure.
You heard me pleading last week, I'm hoping.
Last week,
same thing, right? It feels like a year sometimes. So
coffee.
It's Columbus
and
Day today.
I
know, but he's our special guest. Oh. We're going to introduce him later. But now that you've already told everyone that he's here, hi, Phil.
Good afternoon.
Phil Ferranda from J. Philip Ferranda Real Estate, mm-hmm. Four offices. Three in Westchester County,
yes.
One up in Buffalo. Happy Columbus Day.
Happy Columbus Day.
I guess we have to thank the Columbus for the whole real estate industry. When you say he discovered America, this continent.
A lot of real estate.
He brought a lot of people here looking for houses.
That's true.
He was the ultimate relocation guy.
40%.
Did he live in a condo?
Townhouse. Right.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know this house?
It's from the early Jamestown settlements. They unearthed earliest townhouses.
Mm-hmm.
There's a co-op there, I'm told.
It's personal property.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's not only Columbus Day. It is also Thanksgiving.
In our Canada.
In Canada,
right,
yes.
Right. How are you connected to Canada, Victoria?
Well, I work for a Canadian company.
Is that true?
Yes, it is. So my Canadian family is celebrating.
Yeah, do they do the spin-off turkey and cranberry? Or
They do. They do it exactly the same way we do it.
Huh.
How do you feel about that?
Well, I mean, who did it first? We did it first. This country.
Well,
right?
That's what we say.
Well, then why would they copy the turkey and the cranberry?
Well, maybe we copied it from them.
Well,
these are intriguing questions.
Can we not say that these are solid ideas and they make a fine dinner?
Yeah, and the whole North American continent. They are our neighbors to the north.
Are we not all brothers?
Absolutely.
And sisters.
And
sisters. Girl power in this house right now. Girl power. Scott Forsino.
Well, Melissa's the first, but maybe the last for a little while. I don't see any females coming.
Yes, we're going to be very, very good to Melissa today. Mm-hmm. So what are we talking about today, Scott?
We're talking about the way those consumers that are searching for homes has changed. No longer are the realtors the repository or the guardians of the information. I think that we'll all agree that there are apps and there are sites and search portals that allow buyers to check what's available. Phil's going to give us some more information on how that's used.
Well, back in the day, we used to control all the information. Remember those days?
Sure, the old MLS books and all the solds and actives and all the data, but that's left the four walls of the real estate office, and now it's open to anyone to find out on their phone, on their tablet, desktop, wherever.
Yep, it has changed dramatically, the way buyers search for homes. Phil, you are on you're on the Zillow advisory panel.
Yeah.
Is that correct? You're also the former president for the Hudson Gateway MLS.
That's correct. So, yes, member of Zillow Agent Advisory Board, member of the Hudson, past president of the MLS. So, how consumers used to search was that they used to go to a real estate office or they would peruse the newspaper, and the internet ended up what we call democratizing the information. So it made just about anybody be able to get the same data that they could get from a real estate agent. And the fear was at the time that this would cause us to go the way of buggy whips, that, you know, people could search for properties for sale on their own, and they wouldn't need us. And what they instead found out was that our value proposition to the public was not just as the gateway to the homes for sale, but as the advisor and the advocate to someone in what was typically the largest financial transaction of their life. And that's why the real estate agent is still integral to the purchase process of a home. So the search has changed. The value of the agent has remained the same or gotten, actually, with the rise of property value, has gotten even more important, in my opinion.
So here's what I heard. I heard that 98% of people are starting their search online.
Mm-hmm.
Do you agree with that?
I do. Well over 90%.
Sorry. Well over 90%. I have 98%. Of that, we have 64% are finding properties on the weekends on their mobile device through either a mobile app or a mobile website. Do you agree with that?
Mm-hmm.
And how are they doing that, Phil? What are they looking at?
Well, they're on their phone. They're going to be on their tablet. Wherever mobile device they have, most real estate websites, if they're smart, will be what's called mobile responsive, which means that if I'm driving around a neighborhood and I want to find out if this is the place I want to live, I might see a for sale sign, or I might just say, what's for sale around here? And I'll open up perhaps the Zillow app, perhaps the Zillow mobile website, and see through GPS location what is available in my radius. And from there, the folks can see what's for sale in their price range and so forth. It's right there at their fingertips, and it's immediate gratification in terms of data.
Okay. So the big fear was, like you said, that the realtor would not be needed anymore because the data was out there.
Right.
And they wouldn't have to come back to them. But what we're finding is that millennials in particular right now are saying that they prefer to use a realtor because they want them to walk them through the whole process of the sale itself, not just to find the house. In fact, they're saying that millennials are not even dependent on the realtor to find the house. They'll help find the house, but they want them to walk them through the process. Have
Correct.
You heard that?
That's exactly the thing. So it's not a point-and-click transaction. Buying a home where hundreds of thousands, sometimes millions of dollars is at stake is not like buying
a pair of shoes.
A pair of shoes, right? It's not like buying a Bluetooth for your phone. It is the largest financial event of most people's lives, and mistakes are catastrophically expensive if you blow it.
Right.
So why would someone want to make that a do-it-yourself project? If you make a mistake, you could pay for it. You know, having brokered 80 to 100 short sales, which come in the wake of a underbrokered or not brokered transaction, having someone who's an expert hold your hand, advocate for you, help you with negotiations, take the animus and the emotion out of it and guide you through it is huge. It's very important.
So what kind of mistakes are we talking about?
Tipping your hand to the homeowner when you're looking at the house, telling them, for example, this is great, my mother lives a block down, we have instant daycare. Well, you know they know they've got you by the neck, because how many homes are for sale within a block of your mother? Getting emotional about something because there's a ton of money involved. So there's a lot of things where having a degree of separation between the principals, the buyer and the seller, is huge.
Very good. So we're talking about the differences that have been taking place throughout the years, you know, how buyers are now finding homes on the internet and how that has changed, and what this means to not only the buyer but to the seller and to the realtor. If you'd like to join in on the conversation, give us a call at 914-693-5700. Again, that's 914-693-5700. We've been touching, Phil, on a lot of how they're finding the house, you know, going on the internet, these internet searches. We touched a little bit on Zillow. We'll get much more into that later. But there's other changes that have taken place. Back in the day, we used to deal with sub-agency, and the realtor was representing the seller. That is no longer the case today. Today, most realtors are not practicing sub-agency, and they are representing the buyers. Uh-huh. How do you feel about that? What changes do you see with this?
This is not something widely understood by the public. So here's what happens. So for decades, all of the agents, even the ones that were driving the consumer, the buyer around in their car, technically worked on behalf of the seller. They represented the seller's interests, they negotiated on behalf of the seller to get the most money for the property. The idea of the buyer having their own representative doing price analysis, doing the negotiations on their behalf to get them a lower price was unheard of.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In the 90s, when mandatory disclosure of agency became law in the state of New York and around the country, consumers learned the ugly truth that the agents were not always working for them. And we saw almost a
They didn't always know that.
They never knew it because there wasn't a mandatory disclosure.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There was a seismic shift in the industry where within a few years, just about anybody looking for a home wanted the agent that was showing them property to be able to negotiate on their behalf so that they would be able to get the best price, to get the best terms, have negotiation advice, have a market analysis done on a property so they'd know what the right price would be to bid for it, have them negotiate on their behalf. So that was a tectonic shift in the industry, and it made the idea of contacting the listing agent directly kind of like a dinosaur move, not mm-hmm. the smartest move.
Yep. I see you looking over here, Scott. I know you want to jump into that because this is right up your alley.
Well, of course. Phil mentioned the buyer agency, but there, you know, Phil will talk about the L word, and that is that of liability. Uh-huh. I mean, oftentimes consumers want someone, quote-unquote, representing them, but they don't understand that they must give not the personal trait of loyalty, but the obligation of liability, where they are responsible for payment if, in fact, the offer of cooperation is not sufficient. I mean, talk to that point. Are people willing to, not in just your case, but all cases, retain, for want of a better word, as they would a lawyer, a broker?
Okay, so this is a philosophical difference, and this is kind of above a lot of people's heads when they first start to look for real estate, but this is where mm-hmm. what it boils down to. It's a little weird that when a buyer agent from ABC Realty walks into XYZ Realty's listing with their own buyer, negotiates the best price for them, does home inspection on their behalf, finds stuff wrong with the house, gets that stuff cured by the seller, does things that cost the seller money. But then when it comes to closing, they're paid out of the proceeds from the seller's pocket, basically.
Yeah, I agree. That's very weird. Right?
So that is a little weird that the seller is paying the guy that is advocating for the other side.
Mm-hmm.
That is the pay model of decades-old practices where buyer agency was not common or existed at all. Right now, the buyer pays for the house. That's it. They get a mortgage. They do a down payment. The idea of them paying extra for representation is unusual to them. It very, very seldom happens. For the past about 20 years, that's basically been the practice. It's a little weird. It's kind of a little ironic. But in most models, in most markets, you very seldom see the buyer paying extra.
I wasn't so much asking about the payment as the uh-huh. fact that they are then bound to work with that realtor and that realtor only.
Uh-huh.
I mean, to say that they can shop for one realtor with one realtor in one area and another, uh-huh. they are like a seller stuck with with that form of representation.
Uh-huh.
I mean, why would anyone, a buyer, not understand the value of having one realtor and uh-huh. owe their obligation of payment or just their obligation to work with that realtor throughout the pendency of the transaction?
Okay, so when you want somebody to work for you, you probably want to hire them.
Yeah, kind of.
You would hope so.
Right?
Right.
So if
but
want,
we all know loyalty issues that have
right. so
been
from,
in the past.
Right. So from the real estate agent's point of view, you could show someone 20 or 30 houses and have them call you a month later and say, we used another agent to buy a house and make nothing. So that makes the real estate agent want to have the people hire them.
Okay, we have to go to break, but hold that thought. We're going to come back and talk more about that. If you'd like to join in on the discussion, please give us a call at 914-693-5700.
Have you ever been disappointed because something important you planned went wrong at the last moment? Doesn't that make you really frustrated? That won't happen at Movement Mortgage, where your entire loan process is designed to remove the stress and hassles from getting your loan approved quickly. Movement Mortgage is an Inc. 500 fastest growing company in 42 states, including this area, working hard for you. How? At Movement Mortgage, your loan is processed in 7 days, and we underwrite in the first 48 hours. We expedite your loan and update you continually. When buying your first home, upgrading, downsizing, or even refinancing, call your Movement Mortgage team today. The movement of change is here for you with Movement Mortgage. Call Movement Mortgage at 1-800-516-2119. That's 1-800-516-2119. Movement Mortgage is an equal housing lender. NMLS ID 39179.
The movement of change is here. Movement Mortgage.
This is Paul Oster, the nation's credit repairman, and I want to help you improve your credit. As the CEO of Better Qualified, I've helped thousands of people over the past 10 years. I'm the credit expert for Fox Business News and all the major networks. I'm a certified FICO Pro that uses the consumer laws to help delete negative information off of credit reports. We have a debt elimination program that focuses on the laws surrounding collections, judgments, and charge-offs. You could be entitled to up to $1,000 per violation. Call now for your free credit consultation. 888-533-8138. That number again, 888-533-8138, or visit us on the web at betterqualified.com.
Whether you're looking to buy a new home or refinance, Annie Mac Home Mortgage offers competitive rates, a wider array of products, and best customer service available in the lending industry. They have renovation loans for the almost perfect home that just needs a little work. If you want to get a new home built, they have construction to permanent loans with competitive rates and quick closings. Annie Mac Home Mortgage has federally insured FHA loans for borrowers who have had credit problems in the past and no down payment. VA loans for current and former members of America's Armed Forces. Whatever loan product, our licensed mortgage originators will walk you through every step of the process and take the time to work with you individually. Talk to us. Annie Mac won't just get you a mortgage. They will get you the right mortgage for you. Call Annie Mac Home Mortgage at 1-888-242-1313. That's 1-888-242-1313. Annie Mac Home Mortgage is an equal housing lender. NMSL 338923. Annie Mac Home Mortgage is a licensed lender by the Colorado Mortgage Company Registration.
Call Annie Mac.
And we're back. We're talking here with Phil Ferranda from J. Philip Ferranda Real Estate and Scott Forsino. And we also have Melissa Case in the room. I know I kind of went over her bio before. I didn't even have her introduce herself. So, Melissa, can you quickly introduce yourself?
Sure. hi. I'm Melissa
I'm
Case.
So happy that you're here.
I am Melissa Case, and I am a female, which is apparently I have that going for me, which is nice. I am a recovering realtor, and I do copywriting that is designed for real estate professionals and for Scott.
Right.
Yes.
Very good.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Yes, we're very, very happy that you're here. Can you tell?
I will be as smart alecky as I can.
All right. We like that. And Anthony Negrelli is also here from Movement Mortgage. He is a market leader, and you are opening up a branch right here in Valhalla.
Yes, yes. First branch in New York for Movement Mortgage. The company's been around since 2008, but first branch in New York.
Awesome. Well, congratulations. We're looking forward to seeing you guys rock and roll here in Westchester County.
Well, we're ready.
All right. So I just want to go back to our topic where we left off. We were talking about hiring a real estate agent to represent you. And I don't know if we even talked about the exclusive right to represent, but I think we were heading in that direction.
Right.
You want to pick that up?
Okay, so an exclusive right to represent is the buyer equivalent of what a seller would sign when they hire an agent to sell their property. When a buyer wants to hire a buyer's agent to represent them, the smart move would be to sign an exclusive right to represent with that agent. It does not make them necessarily get stuck with an agent. Hopefully they've done the research and they're comfortable with the agent that they're working with. But this basically puts the agent in the position of having the highest liability and obligation of advocacy by statute that exists. So, as I said, if you want me to work for you, you have to hire me. If you want me to work on your behalf, it should be in writing, like just about anything else you do. If you hire a butcher, a baker, a shepherd, a doctor, a lawyer, an architect, there's got to be a written agreement of hiring them, and this is the real estate equivalent of that.
Now, do you see many of the brokers doing that?
No.
Phil, do you think that the consumer's best or better served by having that? I mean, what do they get more than if they don't?
Okay, so if you are going to do something where you want somebody to represent you and they don't necessarily do something that's in your best interests and you want to challenge them, you want to take them to court, for example, where's the piece of paper for the judge to say, oh, well, yeah, you broke your agreement. There should be a written agreement. Now, that's kind of an extreme example, but put yourself in the real estate agent's position. You're going to have to be at this person's beck and call, on call, working on their behalf all the time, nights, weekends. It would be nice if they knew that they were going to get paid at the end of the day when the closing occurs.
And not get cheated on.
There's that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's the big thing.
That is the big thing.
That is the big thing. So let me ask you something, because consumers are listening to the show, and you know, we all know in this industry that if you want to list your house, it's a given. You're going to sign a contract.
Right.
And you're going to be represented by your realtor.
Yes.
So why is it not the same way if you're going to look for a house that you don't have a contract that you're signing?
Well, it should be the same way. The reason it's not the same way is because the agents simply don't ask to get hired officially. They rely on, for example, perhaps the goodwill or the good vibe that they have or the rapport that they have with the consumer. And that's really not enough, because no consumer, if they were to hire a architect, a lawyer, any other thing, would rely on just a handshake for them to deliver what they promise. So this is not something that just is a ball and chain that ties you. You know, you can fire them.
Mm-hmm.
You know? This creates the agency relationship where now the agent works on behalf of the buyer without any dilution of loyalty.
Right. But that is changing. You are seeing more and more exclusive rights to represent. I know we are. I'm sure you're seeing them as well.
Well, we train our agents to not work with anybody unless they're going to get hired.
Mm-hmm.
Don't work for people that don't hire you.
Right.
It's
so
kind of a
change takes time.
That brings them to the search thing. It seems that the realtors have ceded the search to the buyers directly. It seems like they've removed themselves from the easiest and maybe the most brainless part of the home buying purchase.
Mm-hmm.
And you can just have them search, and you don't fear if they're under an exclusive. Tell me how that works. What if they walk into an open house?
Well, if they walk into an open house, there should be a sign-in sheet that asks if they're working with an agent. They simply either sign saying, yes, I'm working with an agent, or they leave the agent's card with the agent that is hosting the open house, so that agent knows that they're represented.
Right, so they can search to their heart's content, but you're not in danger of losing them, nor are they in danger of losing you.
Right, and you know, this way you know that you have representation, and the agent that's working with them can focus on doing their job rather than just, you know, holding on to their ankle for dear life. You know,
like a shepherd collie.
Right.
Wow, cool. That makes
sense. A good visual, right?
That's perfect.
All right, so Phil, tell me how they find their agent these days. Back in the day, it was always through word of mouth, which I'm hearing, believe it or not, 80% are still doing it through word of mouth, but they're starting their search on the internet. So what has changed? What's going on now? How are they finding
agents? Younger millennial Gen Y buyers are looking at ratings. So, for example, let's take Zillow.
Mm-hmm.
Zillow a few years ago started an agent rating system where the agents could be rated 1 to 5 stars based on the experience.
Sort of like a Yelp.
Yeah, like a Yelp, but for real estate agents and brokers. So smart agents went out there and got past clients to rate them. And a consumer that sees, for example, 3 or 4 agents on the side of a listing and one has 25 five-star reviews and 3 others have less than 5, who are they going to call? They're
mm-hmm.
going to call the person that has been vetted, that has the good Yelp review, if you will.
Okay. So, Melissa, I see you smiling over there. Are you in agreement of that? I think it was when he said smart agents are doing this.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yep.
And, you know, it is a fact of life now that people are searching online for things. If it cannot be found online, then the general populace gets upset.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are not fully cultivating your online presence, then you're doing, as a real estate professional, you're doing yourself a huge disservice.
Right. Now, Phil, you mentioned the millennials, the Gen Y, you said, right? Which is, what did you say, the age of 29? Did you say 29?
Well, I didn't say their age, but they're typically under the age of 40, 35
right.
or under.
Yeah, under 35. But what I have read just recently is that the typical millennial buyer is age 29.
Uh-huh.
You know, about 60% of the buyers right now that fall into the millennial category are only 29 years old.
Uh-huh.
And yet, the typical age of, the median age of a realtor is 57.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. So there's a huge disconnect there. So how is the 57-year-old appealing to the 29-year-old?
Well, hopefully they're appealing to them with experience and with insight and with, you know, advocacy through having been through this before. The downside of it is if the agent is not tech savvy, there's going to be kind of a Tower of Babel-like translation issue between the technology.
Explain tech savvy.
Okay. So when a millennial shows up at a listing and they have a tablet and they are on Google Earth and they have all of the, for example, demographics, statistics of the neighborhood, they have all kinds of data that educates them about the walkability, for example, of a locale, and the agent doesn't even have mobile computing, and the member of the public has more data and knowledge about the hyperlocal area than the agent does, how much confidence does that build for the consumer when the agent doesn't even have, half of their information?
Very good point. That was exactly where I was going with that. You know, there are many agents out there that are just not on their game anymore because they don't know how to keep up with a 29-year-old. And that is really an important thing to understand. We have a caller on the phone, so I'm just going to go to Mary. Mary, can you hear us?
Oh, it's Mary Kingsley.
Hi, Mary. How are you today?
I'm terrific. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Are you joining in our conversation, or do you have a question for us today?
Joining your conversation, and it's funny that you were just speaking of the 57-year-olds, because I'm the 60-year-old, and I have that long-term perspective of the change in the business and the advent of technology and the younger buyer, and someone said, how does the older agent relate to the younger buyer? And, you know, we often say that there are all kinds of agents for all kinds of buyers, but I take a lot of young folks under my wing, and I think I work really well with them.
That's because you're tech savvy.
Well, that is true. Yes, it is very important. I love the internet. I love the fact that buyers can search on their own. It really takes the pressure initially off of me finding what they want. They pick, I show, and we start to learn what it is they want, and I try and help them distill that through my experience. And often I end up being the one that picks the one that they do buy, but it doesn't become just my show, and it removes that level of dissatisfaction if I pick the wrong thing for them.
So, Mary, you have touched on a number of things here, and when we first started our show today, we were saying that the millennials are not really relying on the realtor to find the house for them,
no,
but to basically walk them through the whole transaction. And you're confirming that right now.
Absolutely. Absolutely correct. And also, when we bring excellent experience on the whole process and on the pluses and minuses of individual homes and just having knowledge about systems, and even though we still do inspections, they really start to look to you as the person that provides the accurate information. So you can get any information on the internet, but what the realtor's role now, I think, is to distill that to what is most accurate, pertinent, and how that values for you.
I think I know who you're going to have on the show next week.
Ah, Mary, she's a woman. We do want women on the show. Mary, would you like to come on our show?
Sure.
We would love to have you on the show.
I have a question for Mary then. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi, Mary. Scott.
I hear you well. Hi.
Well, you know, in that case, you mentioned information. What if it's not accurate? I know that the Big Z has been criticized for values that are not accurate, but what about even if it's on the market? What if something's been sold? What if something has...
Well, indeed, I always tell people that, you know, you look in whatever you want, but I have to confirm it for you. And I always tell my clients as well, and I also use exclusive right to represent all the time now.
Good for you.
And I am a dinosaur that, when Phil can tell you, when I first had to do it, I thought, oh my God, I can't do this. It's always been the cult of personality, but now I'm like 100% exclusive right to represent. Mm-hmm. So I always tell them, I'm going to tell you the most accurate, up-to-date information.
What sources can you provide them where they can search around for accuracy? I know you can from the MLS, but the consumer might, do they know about listing book? Do they know about realtor.com?
There's all those things, and we share all of that. And again, you have to tailor your approach to your client, because some want to do it themselves and others don't. I mean, I just picked up somebody new this weekend, and he's all about numbers, and I'm preparing statistical reports for him right now. Other people don't want to see that at all. So you really have to be flexible in how you deal with each client. I think that's what makes you successful.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much, Mary, for calling us today. We appreciate
Thanks.
Your opinion, and
great show.
We love having you join our conversation.
Thank you.
We were talking about inaccuracies, and you mentioned the Big Z.
Big Z.
Consumers don't know what the Big Z is. That is Zillow, is that what you're talking about?
Not Zillow.
It's Zillow. Now, Zillow is one of the main places that buyers will begin their search. And we have someone here today who's on the Zillow advisory board.
Uh-huh.
So, Phil, I want to ask you, how are you dealing with this? I mean, is Zillow good or not good? Because you're not only a broker, but you're also on the Zillow board. So I'd like to hear how you're approaching this, because there is a lot of inaccurate information on Zillow.
Right. Okay. So Zillow is the wind. They're powerful. They're also morally ambiguous. They're not good or bad. They just are there. So here's what I mean by that. Most people have a assessed value on their property from their municipality. Their assessed value is not 100% accurate, and those who have an assessed value that's too high can grieve their taxes. Zillow has a Zestimate product that is an estimate, if you look at the root word, of value. It is a starting point. It is not a Zappraisal.
Mm-hmm.
It is not a Zactimate. For that, Zillow themselves will tell you, get an agent, because there's no computer algorithm that can tell you if the place smells like cat litter. All right? Second thing is that, this is sort of an interesting thing, the CEO of Zillow, Spencer Raskoff, is married mm-hmm. to a physician. The bane of her existence is WebMD. So someone coming to see their pediatrician already has their child diagnosed, not good. All right. So she's got to educate them on what WebMD is for them, put it into context, and let them know that she's still the doctor.
Mm, and I understand that.
Yeah. So to that, yeah, well, every parent,
yeah.
You know, because we're on
That's
Google.
A really good analogy, because when we're sick, we go on the internet
sure.
and we start, you know, looking up WebMD,
yeah.
and we're all dying.
Yeah, we're all having a stroke.
Yeah.
We're all having an aneurysm. So Zillow also publishes the margin of accuracy and the margin of error right down to the county, so that the consumer can go into this with their eyes open, knowing what the Zestimate is and what it isn't. It's just a starting point.
Very good. Good answer. So, I want to talk to Anthony. Anthony, you're here with us from Movement Mortgage.
Yes.
What are the changes that you have seen in the industry?
We're seeing a lot of people coming to us prior to hiring an agent and viewing properties on your mobile devices, and, you know, then the questions will come to us as, you know, do we go to the agent that has the listing? Mm-hmm. Do we hire someone who can advocate for us to get a lower price? And, you know, there's a lot of different, you know, things out there, and, you know, we try to lead them as best we can. Not really too sure how to go, though. Mm-hmm. You know, it's, do you think, you know, if someone's listing a property, do you go to them directly because you think that since they're going to get the buying side and the list and the, you know, selling side, that maybe you can get the property for cheaper?
Right. That's what everyone thinks, right? You can get the better price if you go directly to the listing agent. How do you feel about that one, Phil?
It is one of the most damaging myths that exists.
That is correct. Yeah, we want representation for that buyer.
Sure, sure. We, you know, and we try to explain to our clients that, you know, hiring a real estate agent is obviously the first thing to do. You obviously hire an attorney, you hire an inspector, but to have representation when you're purchasing a home, again, the biggest or one of the biggest purchases that you'll make in your life, you want to make sure you have good representation.
Absolutely. So do you find that they're coming to you and getting pre-qualified or even pre-approved at this point prior to meeting a realtor because you have this on your site?
A lot of times we see people coming to us that are referred sometimes by attorneys prior to even looking for homes. They want to be pre-approved, not so much pre-qualified.
What's the difference?
You know, it's people, you know, when you hear it in the market, pre-approval and pre-qualification. Pre-qualification is more or less a conversation that you've had with a client. They're looking to purchase X, the taxes are Y, and they make X amount of dollars. You can come up with a, you know, an estimate of what you can and can't
do. So on the pre-qual, I could just tell you, this is what I make, this is what I'm looking to spend.
Correct.
These
my
are
credit's
expenses.
Excellent.
Yep.
You know, a lot of times.
So
you
I have
see,
the best credit, I make the most money.
Right. You know, you see a lot of times with, you know, the number one issue would be self-employed, you mm-hmm. know, because when you, you know, the thought process of being self-employed is, well, my company grosses this amount of money, so that's how much money I make. So it's very hard to, you know, pre-qualify someone, especially a self-employed client, because you really need to dive deep into tax returns and view, you know, what we're really looking at to actually pre-approve the client.
So when you're pre-approving, what are you doing to pre-approve?
Pre-approving is a little different. We'll, you know, we'll take a loan application, we'll run credit, and, you know, we'll view income and assets.
So you're looking at the real thing.
Yeah, correct. And Movement Mortgage will actually have the files underwritten for the pre-approval, so we'll actually have an underwriter who makes a financial decision actually say this is a pre-approval that is good to go, not so much your automated systems that'll just, you know, you can put whatever numbers you want and get an approval.
That's awesome. We're going to go to a break right now. Again, if you are looking to join our conversation, give us a call at 914-693-5700.
Have you ever been disappointed because something important you planned went wrong at the last moment? Doesn't that make you really frustrated? That won't happen at Movement Mortgage, where your entire loan process is designed to remove the stress and hassles from getting your loan approved quickly. Movement Mortgage is an Inc. 500 fastest growing company in 42 states, including this area, working hard for you. How? At Movement Mortgage, your loan is processed in 7 days, and we underwrite in the first 48 hours. We expedite your loan and update you continually. When buying your first home, upgrading, downsizing, or even refinancing, call your Movement Mortgage team today. The movement of change is here for you with Movement Mortgage. Call Movement Mortgage at 1-800-516-2119. That's 1-800-516-2119. Movement Mortgage is an equal housing lender. NMLS ID 39179.
The movement of change is here. Movement Mortgage.
This is Paul Oster, the nation's credit repairman, and I want to help you improve your credit. As the CEO of Better Qualified, I've helped thousands of people over the past 10 years. I'm the credit expert for Fox Business News and all the major networks. I'm a certified FICO Pro that uses the consumer laws to help delete negative information off of credit reports. We have a debt elimination program that focuses on the laws surrounding collections, judgments, and charge-offs. You could be entitled to up to $1,000 per violation. Call now for your free credit consultation. 888-533-3500.
888-533-8138. That number again, 888-533-8138, or visit us on the web at betterqualified.com.
Whether you're looking to buy a new home or refinance, Annie Mac Home Mortgage offers competitive rates, a wider array of products, and best customer service available in the lending industry. They have renovation loans for the almost perfect home that just needs a little work. If you want to get a new home built, they have construction to permanent loans with competitive rates and quick closings. Annie Mac Home Mortgage has federally insured FHA loans for borrowers who have had credit problems in the past and no down payment. VA loans for current and former members of America's Armed Forces. Whatever loan product, our licensed mortgage originators will walk you through every step of the process and take the time to work with you individually. Talk to us. Annie Mac won't just get you a mortgage. They will get you the right mortgage for you. Call Annie Mac Home Mortgage at 1-888-242-1313. That's 1-888-242-1313. Annie Mac Home Mortgage is an equal housing lender. NMSL 338923. Annie Mac Home Mortgage is a licensed lender by the Colorado Mortgage Company Registration.
Call Annie Mac.
And we're back. We were talking to Anthony Negrelli from Movement Mortgage, and we were talking about pre-qualification versus pre-approval. And Scott, you had a question while we were on break.
Hi, between you two real estate pros, you're, Anthony, you're mentioning the self-employed individual with, what is that, a year-to-date profit and loss?
Yes, normally.
Okay, so what happens when you delve really deep into it and get serious about their qualifications, and yet they may not have been so either forthcoming or candid with their agent? They say, almost said, you know, we have a huge monthly income. What do you do to bridge the gap between the routine agent, not Phil or his agents, but the routine agent who doesn't understand or may not even feel like it's appropriate for them to get into that issue?
Yeah, I mean, I try to stay in contact with the real estate agent throughout the entire process, from the day I pick up the phone and speak to the client. Again, it's... They don't understand your self-employed borrower, and if we're just using that as, you know, as an example, they don't understand the actual qualification part of the mortgage process. A profit and loss and a tax return, you know, your accountant says you're doing very well and you're grossing all of this income. You know, they don't take into consideration their write-offs and how they do their, you know, normal accounting. So I try to have my real estate agents that I work with, you know, gather or at least let the clients know that, hey, listen, we're going to need to gather this information prior to, you know, driving around for 6 hours on a Sunday, showing someone 10 homes, not knowing that they're actually approved.
Let me ask you, so do you caution these realtors to maybe slow it down or to be more secure and more safe? Do you tell them to kind of wait until you have better information?
I mean, I try to. I don't, you know, in this business, you know, time is money. So you don't want to waste time doing something that potentially, you know, just falls apart. I'd like to let the agents know, hey, you know, I'd rather see documentation to make, an approval process easier up front. Then, you know, I'm sure everybody has seen it. You know, you're 60 days into a mortgage process and the bank says to you, hey, you know, I'm sorry, but your loan's been declined.
But then you're the bad guy.
Well, yeah, of course. You're the bad guy, of course. But, you know, again, it's clients are not forthcoming with information. So we try to gather as much information up front as we can. And, again, we look to make an approval of this loan prior to even having them sit in the car or sit online and look.
So. And you're known for your 7-day clear to close, so you want to have everything up front because you do everything up front so that the realtor can rest easy.
That's correct. Yeah, we, again, our pre-approval process is under, the loans are underwritten by an underwriter who makes the lending decision for our company. So when you receive a pre-approval from Movement Mortgage, it's, you know, it's been reviewed and
it's
and
the
you
real
can feel
deal.
Comfortable. Right.
Right. So my answer to you, Scott, would be it really falls on the broker, on the real estate broker or the real estate agent, mm-hmm. to make sure that the client is going and getting this pre-approval done. Do you agree with that?
Wholeheartedly. You don't want, first and foremost, you don't want to show someone a home they can't afford. Secondly, you don't want to see someone's heart get broken. So if you walk someone through a house that is $50,000 or $100,000 beyond their purchasing power, that's not good. So we want to have people walk through homes that they can afford, period. It's good for the realtor for sure, but what about the consumer? They don't want to waste their own time.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to waste the seller's time. The wisest thing to do for all consumers, buyers and sellers alike, is to make sure that the buyer has ascertained their purchase power before they go out and look at property.
Right, and the worst thing that can happen, and you know as well as I do, you know, we have buyers that are going online, they're pre-approving themselves, and then they're calling up an agent saying, well, this is what I can afford, so I'm looking in the $700,000 price range, and I know I can get that, and then you go out and show them a house, and then by the time they get approved, they find out that they're really in the $450,000 price range, and now they're comparing everything to what they saw in the $700,000 price range. That doesn't work.
This is the same as saying that buying a house is not a point-and-click thing. Getting a mortgage is not a point-and-click
thing
either. That's right. We strongly caution our clients to use local expertise for accountability purposes, for local expertise, for understanding how the local market works, for understanding local properties.
And even the taxes. You know, there's a lot that goes into different local markets. Real estate
whole
is local.
Magilla.
Yep. Absolutely. All right, so let's get off this a little bit, this subject, and go into video. Video has definitely changed the way we do business,
uh-huh.
Right? The average buyer is looking online before they go out and look at an actual property. You know, and they want to see houses. They want to see a video tour.
Uh-huh.
And gone are the days of the low-resolution photos of one photo, and then, you know, even just regular photos. And also gone are the days are those virtual tours that just used to pan back left and right.
Very clunky.
Yeah. Now the videos are really high tech.
Yeah. So video is something that consumers are very hungry for because they don't just want to see a live view of the property. They also want to see community videos. They want to see video that will give them content that will educate them about the property, the community, all of that. And smart brokers will utilize that because it is very indexable by the search engines, and there's a lot less competition for search engine findability in video than there is for just regular text or listings themselves.
I love that you mentioned community video.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Tell us about that a little bit.
Okay, well, we sell our communities as well as selling property. So if someone wants, for example, to be in a very walkable area near a train station, there are some communities that can't offer that. If someone wants to be on the Hudson Line, the Harlem Line, whatever, you know, that sort of thing is crucial, and that's something, for example, in our area in Westchester County, we have a lot of expatriates from the city. People are coming up from Bronx, Brooklyn, Manhattan, of course. So they're looking at videos. Remember, they're Gen Y. They may not be 29. They may be 25. They may be 35. Right. It doesn't matter. They're the TV generation. They're the YouTube generation. They're looking at stuff online for video, and that's should be provided. Smart brokers will create that content.
Absolutely. Now, you also said that the Gen Y, you mentioned them again, and that's a good thing because they right now are leading the buyers, and they are looking for walkability. They really are. They want to be able to walk places. Community is very, very important to them.
Yep.
They're looking at smaller homes.
Greener.
They want a greener.
Yep.
That's correct. You know, so they want to see that in a video.
They're also looking for how-to videos. They're, you know, having content on there about what pitfalls to avoid, what the steps are in a purchase. You know, smart brokers who create that kind of content that is hyper-local, because, you know, you can find a video from somebody in Utah, but their whole process, their laws are very different. So hyper-local content about local best practices, local processes, that's crucial.
I want to ask you, Phil, regarding communities. How about drones? I mean, I know that there's an issue regarding the licensing, or you may need a professional. I heard of one that just went on fire into a building in Long Island recently. Have you come across?
It's not good.
Fires, yeah, that's
yeah,
going to cause a claim.
Yeah.
Maybe in the clue report that will be found.
Right.
If you have a clue, that is.
Yes.
What about drones? Have you heard of, has our board kind of talked about the use of drones?
It's kind of the flavor of the month a year or two ago, and you know, for those not understanding, drone is like a little camera that flies on a like a toy helicopter that can take aerial photos or aerial videos, and there's privacy concerns with it, and there's also compliance concerns from municipalities that don't like them. They don't want brokers to use them. I would just say check your local statutes to make sure it's viable, if it's allowed, and If it's not, don't do it. And if it is, go for it.
These are not the drones that you're looking for.
These are not the drones that are used for more destruction.
No, I just said it.
All right. How about social media? Social media has definitely changed the way we do business.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Let's talk about that.
Okay. So it's very close to magic. So the companies that do social media have collected so much data over the past 10 years that they can predict the web habits of people that are going to move. So they know what predictive behavior is.
Mm-hmm.
So if we want to advertise a property, we can create an ad campaign for a specific listing for the demographic socioeconomic group that is most likely to buy that property, geographically centered. So we can, for example, for a home in southern Westchester, we can advertise it in the social media of people and the Facebook feed of people that, for example, live south in the Bronx or Manhattan in the boroughs of a certain income with certain web habits. And it's crazy. It is the most amazing thing.
Very interesting stuff.
And it blows people's minds. Now, this is the same phenomenon where if you're looking at a handbag on Amazon.com,
yep,
you open up your Gmail and that handbag is in the margin.
Or even on Facebook.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a similar thing, but the stakes are much higher because it's applied to real estate.
Right. So what are you seeing now? What's happening with that?
Okay,
are people afraid of this? Are they embracing it? Or how are you using it?
The younger they are, the less afraid they are.
Okay.
The concept of privacy among baby boomers, it no longer exists. The concept of privacy that baby boomers expected in years past no longer exists.
Well, the older boomers are very nervous about it.
Yeah, it's unsettling that websites know that you just looked at something on eBay.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Millennials don't even notice it. So there's also community pages. There's also stuff, 360 things to do in, wherever, New York. That's popular. But the idea of privacy and the idea of the web pages knowing what you're looking at and tailoring ads to fit your specific demographic, it's what is here and now.
Okay. So for the last part of this show, we talked about consumers finding out information on the internet, and they're looking and they don't want to be bothered. They don't want anyone bothering them. They want to look on their own. And then when they find something very similar to when I'm in a mall and I'm looking for a dress,
mm-hmm,
if the salesperson comes up to me and says, can I help you? I tell them, no, I'm just looking. And then when I find something, I want, where is that salesperson? Right, Melissa? I know you're definitely nodding there. That's when I want that person. Now, as a consumer, the biggest myth that we talked about earlier is when I want that person to help me, I'm going to click in and get the listing agent because I can get a better deal. Why is this a myth, and what is the danger with that?
Okay, so the listing agent works for the seller. So the myth goes like this. If I go directly to the listing agent, because they'll make more commission dealing with me with no buyer's agent, that they'll work harder to get the deal done.
Or I'll get a better deal, and I can get a lower price.
Right. So where that's inaccurate is that if they work for the buyer in any way, shape, or form, then they run the risk of losing their license. So they work for the seller, period. The seller hired them to get the most money for the property, period. Even if they, do that mythical slight reduction in commission, that in no way, shape, or form will get the buyer the same kind of deal that they would get if they had strong buyer representation.
Okay, very good. You have something to say? I see you standing on your feet there. Shaking your head.
That's the thought is to go directly to, I've heard that, and I don't know why a buyer, especially in the current, as Phil called the pay format we have, if this representative, professional real estate advocate will work for you at no cost, then why not take it?
All right.
So
We're wrapping up. So, Scott, how do we reach you?
Scott Forsino, Exit Realty Group, 914-879-8411.
And Melissa, we are so happy that you're here. I wish that you had so much more to say. We'll have to get you back on.
I have plenty to say, but that'll be for another day.
Okay,
so
you're on. Thank you very much for being
pleasure.
Here. Anthony, how do we reach you?
Anthony Negrelli, 914-548-4345.
Where's your new office?
Valhalla. It's 115 East Stevens Avenue, Valhalla, New York.
And who are you with?
Movement Mortgage.
All right. And Phil, how do we reach you?
Okay, I guess our corporate office, 914-762-2500. I have an office in Pelham, which is 914-738-2200. And we have an office in Mayapak, which is 845-628-2200.
Thank you very much for joining us today, everyone here in the room. Thank you, Melissa, again. I'm going to keep saying it because you broke up the man cave for me today. I'm Victoria Rivadeneira. I could be reached at victoriariva.com. You can find all my information there. Thank you again for joining us at the Real Estate Revolution.